Broadcasting and streaming worldwide from the Golf Club Studios, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
Hi, Danielle. It's Ben Crenshaw.
Ben Crenshaw, it is so good to hear your voice. I've got a really good show for you today. Allison Wallace, HSJGA Tournament Director, Keith Hirschland, author, Emmy Award-winning producer, Claude Brousseau, Master PGA Teaching Professional, E. Mike Johnson, the equipment editor and hot list judge at Golf Magazine, and Michael Costillo, Senior Player of the Year, Aloha Section PGA Head Professional at Kapalua Golf, home of the century. And we're coming to you live from the golf club, the studios here on Oahu's South Shore. Welcome into the clubhouse. What's the weather going to be like when you go out and play a round of golf? We got a high surf advisory for north and west facing shores of Ni'ihau, Kauai, Oahu, Molokai, the north facing shores of Maui. So something to look at when you're wondering how long it's going to be before the person that you're playing with hits their shot. It's going to be mostly sunny today, windward and Mauka, isolated showers on the leeward side, isolated showers in the morning, Oahu and Maui. It's going to be hazy. Yes, it's going to be hazy again. 80 to 85 degrees. 85, 83 felt like 90 yesterday. The winds are variable to 15 miles per hour in the morning, becoming southeasterlies in the afternoon. So that's what's happening. Oh, the mug factor. Decided to do the mug factor. It's about a 7 right now. Yesterday, boy, it was an 8. Wasn't it muggy yesterday? That's the mug factor. And we've got tee times for you. Makalei on Hawaii Island has an 842 and a 918 and a 1010. And the Yoo-hoos are playing at Volcano Golf Club. There's an 830 and a 924 and a 1048. And don't worry, it's 56 degrees. I don't think it's muggy. The winds are to 7, though. Okay, Pui Pu has an 11, a 1210, a 120. And, you know, earlier there's the 8th fun run for colon cancer awareness at Pui Pu. Kauai Lagoons has a 9 o'clock and a 10 o'clock. Pearl Country Club, 852, 918, 1108. Pearl Highlands Early Birds are headed out on the golf course. At Hawaii Kai, there's an 846, a 920. Royal Hawaiian Country Club, 830, 910, 1050. Jungle Fever, that's the name of the group going out. And it is a jungle, that back nine, or is it the front nine? Now, they switch sometimes. All right, and Eva Beach Golf Course has a 916, a 1010, a 1208. The Anglers, I think they're a little confused, but they are going to be playing golf and then maybe going fishing. Hawaii Prince has an 830 and a 916. Wailea Gold Course has an 8:30, a 9:10, a 12 o'clock, and the Blue Course has a 9:40 and a 10:28 and an 11:40. And the Champion Circle is out on the golf course today. Watch out. And may all of you with all these great names, hit the sweet spot every time. All right, we're going to come back with Michael Costillo, head professional, Kapalua Golf, the plantation course at Kapalua, home of the century, right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
The Golf Club is brought to you by Aloha Power Equipment, your landscape superstore. Weed it, whack it, mow it, blow it. We put power at your fingertips. The Honolulu Sign Company, branding, banks, shopping centers, businesses, and hotels since 1939. Claude Brousseau, master teaching professional at the Wailea Golf Academy. The Aloha Section PGA, teach your children to play golf, the gift that lasts forever.
And now, Michael Costillo, Senior Player of the Year, Aloha Section PGA, Head Golf Professional, Kapalua Golf, home of the century. Welcome into the clubhouse, Michael.
Aloha, Danielle. How are you?
Excellent. It's a beautiful day, and I have you to talk with. Congratulations on the Senior Player of the Year award from the Aloha Section. Did you know it was coming?
Well, I not really. I mean, I was playing well last year, winning a couple of events, and you know, we don't have a whole lot of events, unfortunately, because of whatever. But it was an exciting announcement, and I was pretty pretty excited about it.
So. Yeah, yeah, it was great seeing you go up and take your award. It was a great evening. The Aloha Section PGA, that was a wonderful evening. I was glad to be there. So much is happening in the world of golf, and so much is happening at Kapalua. I didn't realize it's 50 years of Kapalua now.
Yeah, you know, 1975 when Arnold Palmer did the golf course, and you know, the Bay Course obviously was the first one, and 50 years it snuck up on us.
Wow! And so, over those 50 years, there are a lot of people who were instrumental in the golf operation, keeping it at the level of perfection that you guys have kept it. You want to go over some of the guys that have been there taking the reins?
Yeah, you know, Danielle, there's a lot of instrumental people that have branded Kapalua and is the reason why Kapalua is what it is. And, you know, I don't want to leave anybody out, but I do have some highlight people that I think are significant. You know, Kapalua being one of the first golf resorts in the state, obviously Kanapali and Mauna Kea being the first two. But Craig Williamson, who was the leader of that brand back in the mid-70s, and you got people like Gary Planos and Marty Kiter, and you can't forget Mark Rolfing and Mike Jones, and now we have Alex Nakajima, our general manager, that are perpetuating all of that Kapalua greatness, and the future looks bright for us.
And magic. You know, there's a certain magic to keeping it in such pristine condition.
Yeah, and, you know, it's about, you know, maintaining and building the brand. I mean, over the years, we've had international events like the 1987 World Cup to the Isuzu International to hosting the Women's Public Links, a USGA event, to the local things that we do with high school golf and high school state championships and many, many things that Kapalua has been instrumental in hosting, and especially at the Bay Course.
Yeah. Speaking of the Bay Course, are you going to do a complete redo of that course?
Yeah, you know, we're excited. We've been working on it for the last couple of years. Obviously, the Lahaina fires has slowed the process of approvals and logistics and that sort of thing. But we have David McClay Kidd going to do his second golf course in the state of Hawaii. We're going to have basically a new golf course when it's all said and done, and we're hoping to begin the project sometime at the end of this year.
So is he going to change the routing? Is he going to, when you say a new course, what do you mean?
Yeah, most of the holes are going to be in a different route. Some of them will be similar. There are probably a handful of holes that will be pretty much where they are today. You know, whenever you bring a new architect in, they want to, you know, do it their way.
Sure.
And they're looking at the property a little bit differently than maybe Arnold Palmer did. And they're going to be significant changes, new grasses, all new tee boxes, all new bunkers, all new greens, a new cart pass, new irrigation.
Wow.
It's a new golf course that we're planning to do starting the end of this year.
Any reason particularly why you decided to do this? How old is the Bay Course?
You know, Bay Course is 50 years old.
50.
It's the first time we did, and ownership feels that it's time to refresh and
sure.
sort of bring the golf course to, you know, a more modern or current state. And, you know, we have the plantation courses, which is, you know, a standard with high-level golf and high-level hospitality. And we want to make sure the Bay Course is a mirror of what we do at the plantation as far as the experience our guests get.
Right.
It'll be a different course, different feel, different experience, but the level of hospitality and quality of turf and overall interest and excitement of playing golf, we want to see some similarities between the plantation and the bay.
Awesome. So what kind of grass do you use? Is the Bay Course closer to the ocean?
It is closer to the ocean, but the same turf type that we're using at the plantation, which is a hybrid new Bermuda called Celebration in the fairway and rough, and then the greens will have Tiff Eagle greens like we have at the plantation, all Bermuda, and similar sand type and overall height to cut with the native grasses that we have in the autoplay areas will be probably very similar. the Bay course does play along more residential than the Plantation course does, but you have a lot of great ocean views and a lot of interesting characteristics to the golf course.
Yeah, I'm going to have to. I've not been on the Bay course. The next time I'm at the Century, I'm going to have to make it a point to go over there, but that won't be for another, what, 12 to 18 months? How long does this take?
It does take about, depends on when we start and all the weather and all that, but we're thinking it's going to be a 12 to 18 month project. You know, the Bay course has the only hole that plays over the ocean on Maui. So we're right on the ocean on some of the golf holes, especially the last 16, 17 for us. So it's pretty dramatic. You get to see Lanai and Molokai and the ocean, and it's spectacular.
Does Bermuda grass hold up against the salt better than others?
Not as well with something like Seashore Paspalum, but we find that the Bermuda is probably one of the better playing surfaces, especially for some of the best in the world. And it's something that, you know, we're going to continue the same theme between the Plantation and the Bay so that we can have high-quality turf conditions.
Wow, cool. This is awesome. It's great to know that, you know, you're turning the turf. You know, getting inside there and just mixing things up, and it'll grow so beautifully. I can just feel it. Speaking of growing beautifully, we have a group of people at Century Insurance that are so committed to the islands, and they bring so much to the table. Century Insurance has made a commitment to do the Century Tournament through 2035, did I read that right?
Yeah, it's tremendous. The tours partnership with Century is tremendous. The people at Century, their vision and their overall commitment to the island of Maui, the state of Hawaii, to Kapalua and the tournament is unmatched. And you know, they're definitely reaching out to our first tee program that's at Kaanapali, to the various Maui Junior Golf, Lahaina Junior Golf, Lahaina Luna High School, many other non-golf entities of Maui. They're a tremendous partner, and we couldn't be happier that they are focused on staying committed through 2035.
2035, yes. I've not known any other, agency, so to speak, that has made a commitment that long and, you know, saying, we're going to stay, we'll be here 4 years, and then you have to go through the, you know, conversation process to get four more years. And so that's an awesome thing, especially considering the fires and Lahaina. And knowing that you have somebody there for you, I know that the Century has generated a lot of funding for Lahaina, at least that's what I hear. Can you straighten me out if I'm off?
No, yeah. Funding, they're focused on the mental health aspect and how they can support the mental health aspect as far as funding and support. They're a tremendous partner, and the fire has made Maui stronger, in my opinion. Our team, the community, the partners involved in trying to move forward as quickly as possible. You know, we all wish it didn't happen. We all wish we would be in a better position today, but we definitely are moving this boulder in the right direction. Yeah. And we couldn't, you know, we know that there's a lot of big things happening in the future for Lahaina and the people here on the west side.
Yeah, you know, just getting your home back, you know, it's like, this is where I want to live for the rest of my life, and my children want to live there for the rest of my life. When can we put our home in? Do we know any of those things yet?
The rebuild is steady. There's always challenges. I'm not the expert on that.
Yeah,
but I know for our team and the people that I'm close with here at Kapalua, it's a process. It's moving forward. The county level, the state level are all kind of in it together with the community here. And again, I'm not an expert, and I don't know, have all the moving parts to it, but from where I interact with our team, it's moving forward. There's a lot of positive things that have been happened recently. And obviously with, you know, our ownership supporting our team with housing, temporary housing has filled a big void that our associates were challenged with.
Wow. Yeah. And businesses are recovering?
Yeah. You know, Maui Visitors Bureau is saying a good December as far as visitor arrivals, good January, good February. So definitely an improvement over last year. And we're definitely seeing a brighter future for 2025.
Awesome. That's absolutely awesome. And, you know, you are a pretty amazing person. I just have to bring this up because I didn't know until I, you know, Googled your name a little bit. But this, I'm speaking right now with a pretty amazing person, Michael Costillo, of course, one of the Costillo gang. Ron Costillo, his dad, a tremendous golfer, a tremendous person and teacher, known for his teaching. Then there's Michael and there's Joey and Rick and Ron Jr. and Lori. It truly an amazing family. But I did not know that you are a two-time liver cancer survivor. The optimism that you must bring to the table, do you think that helps?
You know, I was fortunate to play in the Colligard Classic a few years back, and I'm a much stronger advocate for early cancer detection or cancer screening. It's been 7 years of colon cancer. I'm still fighting it. I've got great support from, obviously, my family, my wife, my kids, the work here, the ownership here. It's a battle, and I'm not worse off in the last 7 years. It's just I haven't beaten it to a point where I'm in remission. But, you know, I still work nearly every day, and I still do what I want to do. The cancer is not preventing me from the things I want to do. Some of it's a little bit harder to do, but otherwise it's not controlling what I want to do in my life. It's part of my life that I have to deal with. And so far, it's not getting the better of me.
Right on. That's, you know, it's so many of us, we find that we are led down the path of gloom and doom, you know, because of something that's going on. When we really, it's hard to count your blessings and focus more on that than the other. And I really commend you on being able to stay positive. And let's see, Sony Open. You got into the Sony Open. What was it like playing in the Sony Open?
Life experience for me, you know, being that golf is a big part of my life and competitive golf is something I enjoy the most, and to be able to play with the best in the world and to geek out with all of these great players. I'm 60 years old playing with, you know, I'm over there, I'm putting with Tom Kim, who's not even able to have an alcoholic beverage then. And we're on the same putting green in the same competition. You know, obviously I'm not going to be competitive in an event like that, but I was being part of it, and to be in the same event of a tour event was amazing, tremendous opportunity. And I think about it all the time.
Yeah, and your brother was on your bag, Joey?
Yeah, obviously it's fun, and my mom walked all 18 holes both days, and, you know, she was a young 85-year-old lady, and we all shared the day together, and to go back home and talk to Dad about the round of golf, it was pretty special.
Yes, awesome. Awesome, awesome. Well, it's been way too long since we've had a conversation. I'm really glad that you said yes, you'd be on the show, because I wanted to celebrate, of course, your award and just have a conversation about Kapalua and the century. I thank you so much. Michael Costillo, head golf professional, Kapalua Golf, the plantation course at Kapalua, home of the century until 2035. Thank you, Michael.
Thank you, Danielle. Enjoyed it. All the best to you, and hopefully we see ourselves next few as fast as we can.
Yes, me too. Aloha. Aloha. We're gonna come back. Mike Johnson, 29 years, maybe it's 30. at Golf Digest, senior equipment editor, hot list team member. Going to get inside the equipment game with Mike Johnson after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
PGA Junior League is a fun team golf experience for kids that the entire family can enjoy.
Boys and girls learn the game from PGA and LPGA professionals and have a great time with friends.
Find your team and get ready for a fun and exciting PGA Junior League season.
I want to see you out playing in your jersey and having fun. Visit PGAJuniorLeague.com.
Hey, can you believe it's already March? It's March 1st. Yeah, so we're 2 months into the year. But, you know, Hawaii, it's that time of year. We're calling it the new year still. And it's the riding mower sale at Aloha Power Equipment. That's right. You just sit on your mower and let the mower do the work. Whether you're a homeowner or you've got one of those super-sized gardens, you know, that goes on for miles, you'll need the super-sized landscaper. And we've got the riding mowers of your dreams waiting at Aloha Power Equipment for you. Don't forget your accessories. From mowing to mulching and bagging, we make yard work or, you know, landscape work easy. Mow it, auto-bag it, just think. And you're done. Remember, it's still the fire season. It'll always be the fire season with the temperatures we've got. Protect your property with the best tools around. Live, you know, you can get everything you need right here on Oahu, but on a neighbor island, not a problem. We ship off island just for you. The new shipments arrive daily. So just tell them Danielle sent you. That's Aloha Power Equipment.
Hey, Mark Rolfing here. The First Tee Hawaii is a nonprofit organization that helps kids build character, confidence, and life skills through golf. And we need volunteers like you to coach our next generation of golfers. No matter your skill level, our free coach training gives you tools to mentor kids. We have locations on all the islands, and enrollment is open now for our Level 1 coach certification. Call 808-500-1515.
Poipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore has reopened to rave reviews. Come play our newly renovated greens. Bring the family, invite some friends. When you stand on that tee box, see that view, you'll know why Poipu Bay makes any day special. Come, join the aloha at Poipu Bay, where golf is played. Call 808-742-8711. Your tee time is waiting.
Here's the local rule sign. Keep it in the fairway. It speeds up play. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
Mike Johnson, how many years has it been since you joined Golf Digest, Mike?
I am coming up on 29 years. Actually, it was 29 years 2 days ago.
2 days ago. Okay. Mike Johnson.
I forgot it was March already.
I know. It's incredible. Mike Johnson, 29 years at Golf Digest, senior equipment editor, hot list team member, gets together. What do you guys do? Go into like a shelter and sit there until you've decided what's what with the hot list?
Pretty much. We refer to it as the war room.
Okay.
The debates get a little heated at times, but the idea is everyone gets to be heard and more information is better, and we keep at it until we arrive at consensus.
Good. So you got to convince the other that what you've got on your mind is the right way to go.
It's a shorter version of 12 Angry Men.
And then you guys go out and have something to eat and drink.
Absolutely.
So about a year ago, the USGA and the RNA formally announced their intention to roll back the distance golf balls can travel. Maybe it was more than a year ago, right? So
yep.
The rollback goes into effect January 2028. That's just 3 years. That's for elite competitions and for everybody come January 2030. So What do you think of this this decision they made?
I think there's one huge domino yet to fall, which I think will determine where this goes. The PGA Tour has not come out and said they're for it or against it.
Whoa.
The PGA of America has said they're against it. I think that's fine. But, you know, the PGA of America basically hosts the PGA Championship, and, you know, that's not going to cause the USGA to quake in their shoes one way or the other. But if the PGA Tour comes out and says no, I think all bets are off. I mean, I'm a big believer that people want to play by the rules even if they don't agree with them. I don't think blatant cheating would be widespread. I know a lot of people say, oh, I'm not going to play, you know, a shorter ball. Yeah, you will, because at least two of the other players in your foursome are going to say, get that out of here if you're not. But if the PGA Tour says, no, we're not going to do that, and quite frankly, my personal opinion is, why would they? It just lessens the product. So why would you do that? Then I think it's really interesting because the USGA has a big decision to make. Do we go ahead with this? And the biggest professional organization in the world, which is basically who it's aimed at, is not going to abide by it? Or do we stand down? And that causes problems too. But I think let's take the nuclear scenario. The rollback goes into effect. The PGA Tour does not go by abide by it. I think it gives permission to a lot of everyday players to say, I'm not doing it either.
Right, exactly. The recreational game. They'll just say, no, why should we if they don't have to? But I also have a question about why the USGA would want to roll back distance when we're trying to get people more engaged, the fan experience, and watching the ball fly far, you know, and that power that it goes with it. Don't we want to still wow the fans?
I don't think they're trying to not wow the fan. I mean, let's be clear, if you take 10, 15 yards away, they're still hitting it miles and miles further than you or I or anybody,
yes,
any other normal human being.
Yes.
I think the USGA is, and I think this is important for people to understand, it's not always about, and actually very rarely is it about, where the game stands today. It is they're worried about what the game's going to look like 10, 15 years from now. And I do think there is an argument to be made that the athlete just keeps getting better. It keeps getting bigger, keeps getting stronger. You know, what they don't want is a bunch of Kyle Berkshires all of a sudden learning how to play competitive golf and hitting 400-yard drives routinely.
Uh-huh.
I think that's valid. But bringing it into the everyday game, I don't need to hit it 5 yards shorter.
No. Amen. Yeah, well, yeah, and so why don't they just make it for the, you know, the professional players or the really good amateurs and let us recreation.
The discussions with the manufacturers were basically, if you're, the basic bumper sticker is, we don't want you to do this, but if you are going to do it, make it for everybody.
Okay.
We don't want bifurcation. I think bifurcation would create a lot of mess out there. You know, you get to a point of, and I think we'll see it for the 2 years where it occurs. What defines an elite competition? Is it pay for play? That would be very simple. If you're playing for prize money, it's an elite competition. But where does that leave the U.S. amateur and U.S. junior amateur and AJGA and some of the other competitions that are very spirited?
Well, yeah, because we haven't heard the word bifurcation in a very, very long time. In fact, I haven't heard it, you know, you saying, and I went, oh, yeah, there's bifurcation issues.
Yeah. I mean, it comes down even to what are the golf balls going to be marked. I think golf balls in particular pose a really intriguing conundrum. I think every golfer known to mankind has at some point found a golf ball in the woods or in a pond and played with it. Going forward, how will we know that that ball is conforming?
Oh, my.
You know, my colleague Mike Stuchur and I have spent a lot of time with the USGA engaging them in conversation on this, and at the moment, they have not told us that there will be a specific marking required. Now, I think there will be. I think there has to be. I see no other way around it. But at the moment, there is no immediate plan to do that.
You know, it's also interesting is how long decisions of this nature take amongst the governing bodies. It's like, guys, make a decision already.
Well, there is that, and they finally have made a decision. I think they want the decision to be based on data, which they compiled. They then have their notice and comment period,
Where
this is what we want to do. Before we enact it, we're going to give everyone a chance to respond and react and take that feedback and see where it goes. That was one of the reasons, as I previously mentioned, bifurcation is not going to happen except for the two-year difference. That was direct feedback they got. But it's, you know, you have a lot of governing bodies around the world that need to get on board and a lot of constituencies. You need to get the tour on board. You need to get the PGA of America on board. You need to get Augusta National on board. The USGA and RNA have to be in lockstep. There's a lot of politicking that goes on before they arrive at a final decision.
Wow. You know, yeah, politicking. Yes, everybody's
got... And I think a big driver of this, too, is Augusta National is fully on board with this.
And Augusta National is fully... Now, why are they fully on board?
I think they're getting tired of having to buy real estate to lengthen the golf course.
There.
Not the dollars and cents of it.
Yep.
But I think they just feel that they are, in some manner, beginning to bastardize what the course is supposed to be. And they don't want to do that, and I can't blame them for that. It's a historic venue. The RNA is also driving the bus heavy on this. You know, they're out of room at the old course, and they don't want to see people shooting 57 there.
Yep.
So I get it, but I don't understand why any one of us would want to hit the ball shorter, and I don't understand why the tour would want their product to be less than it is, because let's face it, you know, watching guys drive it enormous distances is a big part of the allure. John Daly is not John Daly if he didn't hit it further than everybody else. Rory McIlroy is not Rory McIlroy if he's not bombing at 330 on occasion. You know, these are things that draw the fan. Who's the biggest content king out there right now? Bryson DeChambeau. Why? Because he hits it a bazillion miles, and people are enthralled with that. So it's a tightrope, no doubt about it.
Yeah, absolutely. And it does have to do with, wow, look at how far that got. Wow, I can't do that. Wow. You know, it's the wow factor, and it's awesome. Now, I'm going to switch gears here a little bit, and I'm going to go to something that a lot of people love and a lot of people apparently don't. It's called Aimpoint. And should it stay or should it go?
Well, it's an interesting discussion. I'm anti-Aimpoint, and I'll explain why. But I acknowledge that it's clearly an excellent way to read greens. I don't think so many of the best players in the world would be using it if it weren't a better mousetrap. So I'll acknowledge that. However, when did trampling around the hole become acceptable?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I remember years ago, people were getting all in a tizzy about Michelle Wee walking through someone's through line. Well, now we got people straddling the hole with their shoes. I don't see the difference of that. Uh-huh. I also think it's gotten a little ridiculous. I mean, I saw on social media about a week ago a player lining up an 18-incher with Aimpoint. I mean, come on. And I think it's a big contributor to the slow play issue. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So that's my biggest problem with it is I acknowledge it's a great way to read greens, but man, it just brings play to a crashing halt. And if they're going to keep allowing it, which is fine, you got to crack down on slow play and be diligent about it. Because 5.5 hour rounds for threesomes or 4.5 hour rounds for twosomes are just unacceptable.
Yeah, and watching the pros, you know, isn't there a clock on them on how much time they're allowed to take? And isn't there a penalty that's supposed to be imposed if they go too long?
There is supposed to be. they give warnings. They probably give too many warnings. And rarely is it enforced. I think on the PGA Tour, there's been 2 slow play penalties in the last 20 or 30
years. Oh, my
years.
Word. Okay.
And we all know it should be more than that.
Yeah.
And with the money they're playing for now, if you enforce the slow play rule, and, you know, 2 shots is a lot of cash on the PGA Tour.
Yeah, I get all that, you know, but what they're destroying is, if we're not watching, if we, the fan, are not watching on television, then all that money that they're getting is going to start going away, too, because we're tuning out. It's going too slow. You're driving me crazy. You know, I get on with it or change the, you know, tell the cameraman to go someplace else. Because
well, and I think, you know, we've seen, how many times have we seen a tournament maybe get delayed because of the weather and the final groups are running out of daylight?
Yep.
They play pretty darn quick to finish, and it doesn't seem to hurt their score. So I just think there's ways to speed up the game and not impact the quality of the product. And it would make the product for the fan so much better. I mean, I have a group chat of 11 buddies, none of them in the golf industry, but all, you know, serious golfers and watch a lot of golf on TV. And the slow play is what drives them crazier than anything.
Uh-huh. Yeah. It's like, get on with it already. How long have you been playing this game? You're a professional. What's your... Excuse me.
Well, and you have the benefit of practicing 2 or 3 times on the course you're playing.
Oh, yeah.
You kind of should know how it breaks.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And now, for the big question of the morning... So what's trending? What's the next great thing in equipment? What are they cooking up back there in the back room? In the
Well, I think we're starting to see it already, and I think it's 3D printing.
Huh?
Cobra came out with the first commercially viable set of fully 3D printed irons this year with their 3D printed tour, and they are not only a technological tour de force, but they're a really damn good club. They look good. They feel good. They perform great. They were the only iron in their category to get 5 stars across the board.
Wow.
On the hot list. It's a remarkable achievement. And in talking with manufacturers, I know Callaway has made a huge investment in 3D printing, which at the moment they're using more for prototyping and design. But what it allows you to do is you can literally do in 3 or 4 days or a week what it would, and get a finished printable product when it would take you months before to do that. So that, combined with the expanded use of artificial intelligence and club design, is speeding up greatly the process by which designers can get to something that they go, yeah, this is ready to go to market.
Now, what is it? What is, je ne sais quoi, what is that thing that makes them say this is ready to go to market, and why can't the regular old brain of the human figure that out? Why do we need a, you know, an AI?
Well, they can figure it out. It just takes them longer.
Okay.
You know, using artificial intelligence, virtually every manufacturer that employs it at the moment, and it's many, if not true art of AI, certainly machine learning, which is kind of what it is, it learns every time it goes through a cycle. So they can go through 1,000 designs, potential designs, in the time it would take them to produce 6 without it. So you find a way to get to yes faster. Still, the final sanity check is always, They bring it to tour. They let the tour players hit it, or they do conduct field tests with focus groups of players. You know, because at the end of the day, all the technology in the world is great, but if it doesn't look good, if it doesn't sound good, if it doesn't feel good, it's a loser.
Yep. And boy, you know, the sound factor, the fact that that's become important, I was like, God, when that crack, there's just that feel. It was wonderful that they figured that out.
Yeah. It all goes hand in hand, right? How many times have you put a club down? It's the first thing you do when you see something that intrigues you. Your mind basically says, wow, I'm intrigued by this, or man, that's a non-starter. And then the sound is the next one. If you like the look of it and you hit it, if it sounds like a car crash, it almost doesn't matter how good it performed. It's going back on the rack.
A car crash. I love it. Mike Johnson, it's been way too long. We have to do this more often.
Well, I have one quick question. What were you doing replying to my text at 4:44 in the morning? You should have been sleeping.
Well, you know, I have this thing called a job, and it, Monday through Friday, I get up at 3:00 in the morning. Yeah.
Danielle, it's been a pleasure. Anytime.
Thank you very much. Mike Johnson, 29 years at Golf Digest, senior equipment editor, hot list team member. Aloha, Mike.
Aloha.
We're going to come back. Claude Brousseau, PGA Master, Director of Player Development, Wailea Golf Academy. After this, my name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
When Sears opened here more than 60 years ago, who made all their signs? The Honolulu Sign Company, to 1724 Hart Street off Waikamula Road on the other side. They do building marquees, letter signs and lighted signs, parking and tow signs of every kind, OSHA compliance signs, custom signs of all types. Call 847-4047. Licensed and insured Honolulu Sign, serving Hawaii since 1939, where quality and service have not been forgotten. Call 847-4047 now.
Poipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Share our home with need a gift for that special someone? Tired of giving fruit baskets you know are getting recycled? Give a Poipu Bay golf gift certificate. Whether it's a birthday, business, or anniversary, here's the one gift that is always the right size and the perfect date. Just give us a call and it will be waiting for you to pick up or mail to your office. There may even be time to sneak in a nine. Call us for the perfect gift, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay on the Garden Isle.
Hey, Mark Rolfing here. The First Tee Hawaii is a nonprofit organization that helps kids build character, confidence, and life skills through golf. And we need volunteers like you to coach our next generation of golfers. No matter your skill level, our free coach training gives you tools to mentor kids. We have locations on all the islands, and enrollment is open now for our Level 1 coach certification. Call 808-500-1515.
Got my new book, 3 Tips to Play Better Golf. Practice, practice, practice. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
Claude Brousseau, PGA Master, Director of Player Development, Wailea Golf Academy. And, you know, he's the number one teacher in the state of Hawaii, ranked by Golf Digest list of best teachers for 2024-2025, the third time in a row. 2022-2023, best in every state, second time in the row. He's also number one for 2019 and 2020. Welcome into the clubhouse, Claude.
Good morning, Danielle. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. And I was intrigued that you suggested talking a bit about Aimpoint, because Aimpoint has become a little controversial on the PGA Tour with all those fellas getting really close to the hole and kind of tramping around there, you know, and making it difficult for other people using that same hole at some point. So let's talk about Aimpoint. You seem to think it's a really good idea.
It is a great idea. And it's like any new idea. People are reluctant to adopt it. And then what happened is, okay, let's talk about the process of reading green. If the people that says take longer, if I name few players and we see the result they have, and it doesn't take time, you can read the green in 20 seconds. When the other golfer start looking the hole, walk around, go on the other side, go on the left side, come back, that takes longer than feeling with your feet where the green in between the ball and the hole, come back, you're ready. I think where the confusion starts is that the process of reading the green with aim point is very fast. Now, if the player takes three practice swing or four, or are undecided before they swing, that's another issue. Here's how I look at that. How long it takes for the caddy, let's say, to look at the yardage and say it's 125 to carry, cover the bunker and 136 to the flag. It took 10 seconds doing that. Now, if the players cannot make a decision or they discuss 3 minutes before making the decision, it takes time. Now, aim point speed up the decision making. Now, regarding walking around the hole. Okay, unless you're the first golfer in the morning, somebody will have walked around the hole during the day. So that, to me, that argument is not very valid. And then the PGA Tour and PGA Tour, most of the green are hard like your marble table. If you think that golfer really make marks, most of them have spike that is soft spike. So it's now, if we look at the, if you know how to do it, and then you have, you can start your process, even on the PGA Tour, most of them will start the process of reading the green where they're with their body and what they feel before it's their time to play. So if we teach that to the public to do that, it's like it doesn't take time. So I've been using it since 2008.
Wow.
And then it improved. Numbers don't lie. I send you some numbers.
Yes.
And then when people say, okay, would you think Justin Rose is a slow player? Would you say Victor is Hovland is a slow player? Would you say Max Homma is a slow player? I don't think they go in the category of slow player. Okay?
Yeah.
And they all use aim point. Now, if you become number one in the world using aim point, there is only 7 players that did that so far. So maybe the golfer that doesn't, I'm not saying it's for everybody,
mm-hmm.
but if 7 of them became number one in the world, must have some merit of using it. Can you use it faster? Yes. Is your routine with your driver on the tee could be faster? Yes. Could you walk faster in between the shots? Yes. So blaming aim point for slow play is not the reality. Now, if you were ranked, let's say, we'll take Bhatia. He was ranked 52 in stroke gain putting before 12 months before using aim point. 12 months later, he's ranked number 24.
Yeah.
Do the math. Why won't you use it?
Yeah. Yeah. I guess it's.
Go ahead.
There's a few people who take too much time figuring aim point out their process. Is going so long that they're past the time when they're supposed to have made the shot. They're technically in a period of time where they're supposed to be penalized, but they're not doing that on the tour. They've penalized somebody twice in goodness knows how many years. So I think that's the biggest issue, is the time it takes for some of the players to, and I think there should be, the penalty should go if you've got 20 seconds or 50 seconds, whatever it is, to make a decision and go, then if you go into 2 minutes, that's just eating up time. It's boring, and people don't want to watch boring television.
I'm totally agreeing with you. Let's use another sport as an analogy. I'm not an expert at football, but don't they have a clock before they can get that ball to the quarterback? I think it's 10 seconds, isn't it?
Yeah, something like that.
Okay, let's say 10 seconds just for discussion. Uh-huh. And then if the ball doesn't get in the end of the quarterback, what are they doing? Penalty. Mm-hmm. Okay, they just need to do the same thing in golf. The problem is that they let people take too much time. Now, how many players? Everybody knows who slow players are, pretty much. And then guess what? If you start to apply the rules, there is a reason. If your ball is out of bounds, they don't say, I'm not sure we will apply the rule this time. And we'll give him a break on that one, you know? So they just have to say, this is whatever. 15 seconds, the ball needs to be in the air.
Yeah.
Every time the ball is not in the air, 15 seconds, two-stroke penalty. Guess what? They will play faster.
Yeah, they will, because, you know, there's a lot of money on the table.
Correct. Yeah. And so, to me, aim point, I mean, okay, everybody talks about the money. Okay, Max Homma, okay. He made $3 million more because he gained 1.5 stroke gain per putting.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is he slow?
No.
I don't think he's in the category of slow player.
No, he's not.
What about Victor? Okay, he just made $1.3 million more. Okay, he gained almost a stroke, 0.8.
Uh-huh.
Okay, let's use Colin...
Morikawa. Yeah.
Okay. He made $895,000 more. He gained half a stroke. Half a stroke. It's huge out there. So I don't think blaming the process is the way to go. What they have to police more or blame is the player that used the process. That's a different way to look at it.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with the process. It's the player that's using it.
Yeah, Keegan that's Bradley's done really well, too, right? 1.2 change. And that comes to $1,025,898.
and if you look at their ranking 12 months before and 12 months after, who doesn't want to go from, let's say, I'm taking one of the biggest one. Keegan went from 51 ranked. And he's 46, okay? And then it produced result. It's the system is not the problem. It's the people who are using it that are not using it fast enough.
Wow. Well, I'm glad we got, that issue out in the open. And I hope that they do something about getting the guys to do the process within the time frame or be, punished.
Correct.
Let's just
to go a little bit on that. I forgot the name of the player, the woman who missed like a 18-footer, and they blame it because she was using aim point. Okay, let's go back in the history of the game. I can name you in the past, before aim point exists, many players missing an 18-footer. Did they blame it on their putting stroke? What did they blame it on? This is just ridiculous in my book.
Yeah. I understand you're going to be on Oahu.
Correct. To help people to understand how to aim.
Do aim point.
Use aim point to read the green and do it, Daniel, in 20 seconds or less.
That's fantastic.
If somebody, I will put anybody on the clock using endpoint correctly, knowing how to do it, versus somebody that goes around, go behind, go the other side. And here's the issue on that for the recreational golfer, Daniel. After they did all that stuff, guess what, Daniel? They still don't know where to aim.
Oh.
With aim point, we quantify the break. I can tell you on any green in the world, any player, any putter side, any speed of the green, I can tell you on this spot, you need to aim 6 inches, let's say, right to left, or 18 left to right. At least we diminish the variable. And guess what? If that's another line I like to use. If you use aim point and you make less putts, if you take 3 putts versus 1 or 2, who's taking more time to play?
Oh, the guy taking 3 putts.
The obvious. Okay. So that's another argument. So I'd be on Oahu. Thank you for Oliver Olikiano at Pacific Island Golf Academy. I'll be there on Saturday, April 5th. And then we'll get more out with Oliver on that. And then people who want to learn how to use it fast, I will be there to help them to do that.
Yeah, Oliver Olikiano, Island Pacific Golf Academy, that's where you'll be, right? You'll be there for, let's see, what date? April 5th, on Saturday, the 5th of April, you'll be there teaching Aimpoint Express reads. That'll be at the Island Pacific Golf Academy. Oliver Olikiano, thank you so much for bringing him over here. Because obviously, how long have you been using Aimpoint?
Since 2008. I met Mark Sweeney, the guy who invented it at Capitola in 2008. That was the first year that the Golf Channel were using that on their broadcast. They were doing, I'm sure you do remember, Danielle, they were using that line on the green and the ball.
Yeah.
They will design the line if the ball follow it. So
yeah.
I've been using it since, and it's there is, if people pay more attention, what is the name of the system? There is a word that says express, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, express in my brain means fast.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, you know, Claude, we have so much to talk about. You're going to have to come back. Because
that sounds good.
The quick tips to playing better. You know, I like this.
You want to go quick through that list, or are you next time?
Oh, we need to do it next time because you've given us lots of food for thought right already.
And,
I like the Socrates.
Thank you so much.
He sent me this the foods for thought with the coach. The secret of change is to focus all of your energy not on the fighting the old, but on building the new. And that's from Socrates. So I think, thank you, Claude Brousseau, giving me Socrates. I really appreciate you. We'll talk next week.
Thank you so much, Daniel.
Or the week
thank
after.
Thank you for having me on the show.
Absolutely. We're going to come back. Yes, Keith Hirschland. He's an Academy Award, excuse me, he's not an Academy Award winning, but why not? Keith Hirschland, Emmy Award winning sports television producer, more than 3 decades of experience in producing shows that aired on ESPN and ESPN2, and he's an author, and he's in the house. Right after this, my name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
I'm Paul Morikawa, 2020 PGA Champion. In every golf journey, some goals can feel like an uphill climb, even intimidating, especially if you're on your own. But in the game of golf, helping hands are all around us. Whether you dream of a championship or you're just trying to make golf your thing, PGA coaches have industry-leading knowledge, guidance, and support to help you take the next step. Just like my PGA coach, Rick Sessinghaus, has always done for me. Wherever your golf journey is headed, a PGA coach can get you there. Find your PGA coach at pga.com/coach.
You know, Aloha Power, for folks who live on the neighbor islands, don't worry. You know, I'm talking about all these great things that you could have. They ship off island. Aloha Power equipment is for you, too. So it's that time of year, the new year. Okay, we're 2 months in. It's the 1st of March already, but it's still a new year. And the riding mower sale at Aloha Power Equipment is on. That's for homeowners who just need something that, you know, in your yard, or for those, you know, acres that just are staring at you. You know, you want to have the supersized landscaper. We've got the riding mowers of your dreams waiting for you right now. Don't forget, accessories are wonderful. From mowing to mulching to bagging, we make the yard work so much easier. It's mow it, auto bag it, and you're done. There's still fire season to think about. We always have to. The heat is much more intense, and it's not going to change. Protect your property with the best tools around. So new shipments arrive daily, rolling in. And if you live on a neighbor island, no worries. We ship off island just for you. Tell them Danielle sent you.
When Sears opened here more than 60 years ago, who made all their signs? The Honolulu Sign Company, to 1724 Hart Street off Waikamila Road on the Everside. They do building marquees, letter signs and lighted signs, parking and tow signs of every kind, OSHA compliant signs, custom signs of all types. Call 847-4047. Licensed and insured Honolulu Sign, serving Hawaii since 1939, where quality and service have not been forgotten. Call 847-4047 now.
KORLYNI Honolulu.
The golf club tip number 81. Don't throw your bag in the pond. You'll want your car keys and wallet when driving home. Now, back to the golf club with Danielle Tucker.
Keith Hirschland, an Emmy Award-winning sports television producer. More than three decades of experiencing producing shows that aired on ESPN and ESPN2, among the first 40 people to be hired by Golf Channel back in 1994 when it all started. And he's an author. Cover Me, Boys, I'm Going In. Tales of the Tube from a Broadcast Brat. What a great subtitle. The Flower Girl Murder. And then the third book, Murphy Murphy and the Case of the Serious Crisis. He's got an incredible imagination. Song Girl, and goodness knows what's next, because he's been traveling the world. Welcome into the clubhouse, Keith. Keith, are you there? Keith, we've lost Keith?
Yeah.
Okay, so we're going to give him a call. So you know what I could do? It's been an hour since we told you what tea times are available. And everybody might want to go play a round of golf about this time. So here we go. There's an 8:42 at Makalei and a 9:18. That 8:42 may be just a little bit hard to get to unless you're like right around the corner. So if you want, there's a 10:10. A 10:10 at Makalei, a 10:48 at Volcano Golf Club on Hawaii Island. Big Island. All right. Poipu. They've got the 8th Fun Run for Colon Cancer Awareness, and that's at Poipu in the morning. And so they've got a tea time at 11 o'clock, 12, 10, and 1:20. Kauai Lagoons has a 9 o'clock and a 10 o'clock. And Oahu, on this island, we've got at Pro Country Club. There's an 8:52 and a 9:18 and an 11:08. And Hawaii Kai has an 8:46 and a 9:20. Raw Hawaiian Country Club has an 8:30 and a 9:10 and a 10:50. And Ewa Beach Golf Course is a 9:16, a 10:10 and a 12:08. Do we have him? Yay! Keith Hirschland, I did this fantastic intro for you. Emmy Award-winning sports television producer, more than three decades of experience producing shows that aired on ESPN and ESPN2, and the first of 40 people to be hired by the Golf Channel in 1994 when they first started. And then there's all the books you've written. Cover Me, Boys, I'm Going In. Tales of the Tube from a Broadcast Brat. I kind of like that one. Flower Girl Murder. That's the second. The third book, I think, did you do two on the Flower Girl Murder? Welcome into the clubhouse, Keith. Keith?
I was saying it. Oh. All that, you're listing all that stuff. Makes me sound slightly accomplished and a lot old, but I'll take it.
No. You're not even slightly accomplished. You're super accomplished. And I kind of got lost here in how you've got Cover Me, Boys, Okay. Yeah. And then we've got...
then we did Big Flies.
Big. Okay, that's what I missed. And then comes the Flower Girl Murder, right?
Right.
Right.
Yep, and then the first Murphy. First. And then Song Girl, which is a sequel to Flower Girl Murder. I have a detective named Mark Allen. And then I've written a second Murphy. And currently working on the third in the Mark Allen series.
Wow.
Done six, working on number seven, and already have the third Murphy in my head. So, a lot going on.
And you're telling me you're old? Now, wait a second. You got back from Riyadh.
Yeah.
When you told me you were in Riyadh, when I sent you a message, and I went, did he move to Riyadh? That's an interesting that's an interesting place to live. So you went to Riyadh, then you went to Adelaide. That's Australia, right?
Yep.
Yeah, still.
Yep.
Okay. And in today's world, I'm not sure what's real and what's not anymore. And then you're back in Colorado. So let's talk about, I'm fascinated with Riyadh.
By the way, and I'm packing today to leave for Hong Kong and Singapore tomorrow.
Oh, my gosh. Now, world traveler, how do you have time to write? Are you on the airplane? Are you doing it on the airplanes?
I tried that a couple of times and found that it wasn't really conducive for me. So that's the one. If I had anything negative at all to say about my reconnecting with the world of producing television golf, it's that I haven't gotten as much time to write. So the nice thing about the live schedule is we do a couple of events and then we have a couple of weeks off and then we do a couple more events and then have a couple of weeks off and we're done in August. So. There is time to write. It's just not as much time as I used to have and probably not as much time as I would like.
You know, that was really sneaky. You just said live golf without even, you're working on the live golf tour.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that. Gosh,
yeah,
Danielle.
Yeah, producing their events. It's, it's amazing. It's been quite an experience and, working with not only people that I, admire and respect, but getting to do it all over the world. If you had told me 4 years ago that, I'd have already traveled to Saudi Arabia four times and Australia a couple of times and Hong Kong and Singapore and Bangkok. And this year we're going to South Korea for the first time. And I'm a very lucky guy. That's all I'll say. I'm a very lucky guy.
Does your wife go with you sometime?
She has not been internationally. She is going to come. Our daughter lives with our grandchildren in Tokyo. So when we do the South Korea event, she's going to fly over to Japan, and then I will go from South Korea to Japan to spend a week.
To Grandpa.
Our kids and Grandpa, yeah. And then, but she's been to a couple of domestic events. So, she's pretty busy herself. So.
I bet. No, yeah, I just think, Riyadh. Tell us, what was it like playing golf in Riyadh?
Well, I didn't play, so I can't, tell you firsthand, but I know the players, we played at night. So that was an interesting twist. We teed off at 6:15 p.m., and the entire golf course was lit. They spent Golf Saudi and the folks at the Riyadh Golf Club did an amazing job lighting up that golf course and having things there for the fans to come out, concerts and it was just an amazing kind of experience. And to be able to produce a full golf tournament, three nights under the lights, 5 hours a night was quite an experience. And I will tell you, Riyadh is an interesting place. It has about, 7 or 8 million people, and I think all of them are on the highway at the same time. So it's got a 4-lane highway with 6 lanes of traffic, and people are driving up on the shoulder. And, it took us about an hour and a half to get from our hotel to the golf course, whether it was 9 o'clock in the morning or midnight.
Wow. They're always traveling.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Yeah, that's... You want to do a ask the people where are y'all going?
Exactly.
Well, I got to ask you, have you gotten used to the format? The staggered starts and all that stuff.
Yeah, what I love about it is that we're done in 5 hours. It's we have 5-hour shows. You know, when I worked at the Golf Channel, there were days when, you know, and you know what it's like at a regular PGA Tour event or a regular LPGA Tour event. They start teeing off at 7:30 in the morning and, you know, don't finish until sometimes dark, and sometimes they don't even finish.
Right.
So the nice thing about the league is they've condensed the time commitment that they ask of the fans. It's, you know, it's a five-hour time commitment. You come out, you know, and I know people have a problem with the shotgun start, and but it really makes for, you know, we think, a more interesting and a more just complete fan experience, because you can just see all your favorite players go through. You don't have to wait all day long. You don't have to worry about coming out in the afternoon and maybe having missed, you know, one of your favorite players
that
they played in the morning wave. So,
yeah.
You know, it's a difficult, I will say that it's a challenge to produce it, because unlike what I was used to for 30 years, it was, you know, groups going through, once a group went through the last group or your lead group went through the third hole, you didn't worry about the first, second, or third hole anymore. Now our guys are playing all 18 holes all the time. So we could have somebody shooting a 64 that finishes on the third hole on a Friday, you know, so we have to pay attention to all 18 holes all the time, which it's nice that the league has given us the resources to be able to do that.
Wow. Yes. You mean like people?
People, equipment, you know, we have, I don't know the exact number, cause we're kind of adding a lot, but, you know, somewhere in the neighborhood of 70 cameras, a couple of drones. You know, we have to be at every hole, every tee, every green, every fairway of every hole for the entire 4.5 to 5 hours.
Ah, yay. My goodness. I'm wondering if, you know, eventually one of their books will be about the experience, some bizarre experience that happens within the, you know, confines of Live Golf. Ooh.
maybe I'll weave that into one of the mysteries here.
Yes,
coming up. Sir. I think my days of, you know, I mean, Cover Me Boys I'm Going In was a labor of love for me. And it was, you know, we've talked about it before, a tribute to my parents who are my heroes and local television broadcast pioneers in Reno, Nevada. And, you know, I'm still selling those books 13 years later or whatever it is. And, you know, I really have, been very lucky that way. People find, especially people in the industry, find it interesting to hear the stories about the earliest days of the Golf Channel and, you know, my time at ESPN when I was there. So I'm super grateful about that. But I think I'll just stick to mysteries and fiction from now on.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah, the setting would be fascinating, though. Now, since we have this moment, I just wanted to ask you about, you know, this controversy between LIV and PGA Tour and the negotiations about who's going to be where, what, why, and what, I don't even know what they're talking about, frankly. But they've got President Trump involved. Do they spend a lot of time, like the PGA Tour spends a lot of time, discussing all of this stuff, ruminating over it?
Well, I hate to disappoint you.
Yeah.
But that is about 65 levels above my pay grade. You know, I don't mean to dodge anything, but they asked me to go out and produce the best television golf show I can produce, and that's what I try and do. All the other stuff, and we've talked about it before, would it be great for the two sides to come together and have some kind of, you know, bring some unity back to men's professional golf? I think we both agree that that would be awesome.
That would be it.
As far as what's going on and who's talking to whom about what, you know, I just got to care about Jon Rahm's second shot at 12.
And isn't that a wonderful world? I love this.
Yeah.
So, the idea, have we talked about you being with LIV Golf?
We did the last time briefly.
Okay. Yeah. We didn't go. See, for some reason, you know, I put that, I don't know, you know, something distracts me. A bee flies through the air. I'm going, oh, there's a bee. Hmm. What did he say?
You have a lot on your plate. You are a very busy lady.
So, oh my goodness, you have so much. I am just impressed at all. And you say you're an old guy. You know, you're producing still, mega producing, and then you're writing your books, and you're a grandpa, and you're traveling around the world. Where do you sleep?
Yeah, right. Well, luckily, you know, when I'm home, I get to sleep a pretty good bit, and I'm lucky in terms of that the league has felt like my position is important enough that they put me in a section of the airplane where I can lie down flat, which is very, very, very nice of them. I can't tell them how appreciative I am of that, especially when I'm about to get on a 16-hour flight to Hong Kong. So,
yeah. And what do you want to do in Hong Kong? Besides, do you have any time to sightsee or do anything like that?
You know, there's time, but and I hate to keep harping on this age thing, but when I was a younger man, I took advantage of things like that a lot more than I do now. They're pretty long days,
yes.
And we're pretty tired when we get done, so it's usually trying to find a place to go out to dinner and have a drink and then go back to bed and get up, bright early the next morning and do the same thing. But there are a number of people on our crew that certainly enjoy every bit of being in wonderful world-class cities like Hong Kong and Singapore and Seoul and Mexico City and places like that. So I'll leave having all the fun away from the compound to those guys, and I'll just go and hunker down.
Wonderful. I get it. And I would do the same thing. that age thing.
Yeah.
Give me my bed. I want to spend some time alone in it.
That's exactly right.
Keith Hirschland, it's so good, and I miss your voice. So you've got to be back.
Nice. Yeah,
I'm serious. I want you to be back on the show more often, okay? Okay.
I'm happy to, and especially, I'm about a third of the way through this new Mark Allen mystery, so maybe hopefully before that we can talk again.
We'll talk before you finish the book, and then we'll talk when you finish the book, and we'll do all that. This is fabulous. Thank you so much
Sounds
for being
great.
Inside the clubhouse.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Have a great day.
You too. Aloha. Allison Wallace is next with us, Tournament Director, Hawaii State Junior Golf Association. After this, my name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
PGA Junior League is a fun team golf experience for kids that the entire family can enjoy.
Boys and girls learn the game from PJ and LPGA professionals and have a great time with friends.
Find your team and get ready for a fun and exciting PGA Junior League season.
I want to see you out playing in your jersey and having fun. Visit PGAJuniorLeague.com.
I'm 9 now, but when I was 8, I'd do things I wasn't supposed to.
You don't talk when people are putting.
Always repair the ball mark.
You keep your own score, so you have to know how to act.
And you gotta tell the truth.
Put a golf club in kids' hands and watch them grow.
If you do certain things that you're not supposed to, you get a shot added to your score. You don't want to do those things.
The First Tee teaches kids values that will impact their communities and the rest of their lives.
If it wasn't for golf, I'd be like my friends, a couch potato.
Visit thefirsttee.org to learn more.
If you want more consistency and more distance in your golf swing, schedule a session with Coach Claude Brousseau, PGA Master and Director of Player Development at the Wailea Golf Academy. He's ranked number one teacher in Hawaii by Golf Digest since 2019 and three-time PGA Teacher of the Year. Claude will simplify your game and make you better. Scratch golfer or just beginning, call Claude at 808-856-9458 or by email claudeforbestgolf@gmail.com. That's 808-856-9458 and have more fun playing golf.
Off a tree, hit a rock, and bounce next to the pin. That's my kind of golf. Now, back to Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club.
Allison Wallace, HSJGA Tournament Manager, LPGA USGA Girls Golf Director, Hawaii State Junior Golf Association, First Tee Hawaii, of course, founded by Mary B. Porter King. Welcome into the clubhouse, Allison.
Thanks, Danielle. I'm glad to be here.
Yeah. Did you play on the Epson Tour?
I did not.
Oh, I wonder why it's in all these notes that I have. I thought I don't remember Allison saying that she was on the tour. Well, we'll throw that piece away, won't we? All right, Hawaii State Junior Golf Association, the Big Island Spring Classic is what we're talking about. It's at the Mauna Lani North Golf Course. What's the Mauna Lani like? I've not been on that course.
So I've actually haven't been up there yet either. This will be my first time going up there as we prep for the tournament.
Yeah.
So I wish I could give you, I mean, I know it's a beautiful course.
Yeah.
Every picture I've seen from every person I've heard talk about it.
Yeah.
You hear nothing but raving reviews of just how beautiful it is and how it goes along the course and how they've got the two courses out there that just follow, like, I think it's the south course that follows along the ocean and the north course. You know, just got the Big Island beauty where you've got, like, the lava rocks, the ocean. Like, it's just, there's nothing that can compare to that. Like, you're not going to play golf like that anywhere else in the world.
No, you're right. And I'm so thrilled that they're giving you time for the 11th to 12th, 13th to 14th boys and girls. You know, it's just fantastic how many golf courses are opening the doors to junior players.
No, I know. And I think that's, like, and one of the best things that I've experienced since being here is seeing just how many people are willing to, like, help these juniors with their game, and not even their game, but, like, their futures too, of, like, how can we help these kids achieve their golf goals and what other goals they have in life.
Wow.
And it's just really amazing to see how many different courses are, like, willing to help us and give us times and let us access their facilities so we can host good events for these kids.
Yeah, and these are great events. So this one, I have this underlined for some reason. First round pairings. We're not going to talk about the first round pairings. We're going to talk about, first of all, HSJGA. It's a 501c3 nonprofit organization. Tell us a little bit about HSJGA.
I mean, there's so much to talk about. I guess our whole point of this organization, when you think of it, is like, when you think of our motto and our mission, it's developing tomorrow's leaders one swing at a time. That's what our whole goal with this organization is to make sure that, you know, we want to give these kids the game of golf, because I think the game of golf just has so many things that hold so much value to it. And I think whenever you can learn to play the game of golf, you're learning how to be a bigger and better person in so many different ways, because you're learning so many things like honesty, integrity, accountability, things that just might not come so easily in other sports. And so I think a big part of our mission is that it's like, we're going to produce these events because we want to produce these qualities in these kids, and we want to see them go big and far, whether that's, you know, going to be a professional golfer, or going to be a doctor, or going to be a lawyer, or going to work as a golf professional. Like, there's so many avenues for these kids, and we just want to make sure that, like, with the game of golf, we can show them all the different avenues and all the different possibilities they have. And at the same time, with HSJGA, we want to make sure that to provide these outlets, to give them these opportunities, it's at an affordable cost to all junior golfers, not just a group of golfers here, but it's like, we want to make sure that every junior golfer in the state of Hawaii has the chance to participate in these events and access all these opportunities to better themselves and prepare for their futures.
What if somebody may not think they have enough money to do that?
Honestly, all of it is so affordable, and there are different options out there. I mean, for us right now, of course, like, one thing too is, like, we have college scholarships, things like that, but it would definitely be something of, they'd have to talk to us. I wish we had a better program in place to set up for that, but there are different ways we can start, where it's like, you know, we have our first tee program that you can start with, and we have financial options with that.
Excellent.
And then there even are, you know, there's different avenues, and of course, our golf tends to be where you pay for a tournament fee and that's it. And they're the most minimal cost you can think of for 2 days.
Awesome.
Of 18 holes of golf.
Yeah. I know a lot of parents who are like, I wish I could, but I don't think I can afford the clubs, you know, and what are they supposed to wear? So they should give you a call right at your office.
Yeah. So if any parents ever have any questions and they feel like they're not able, because, you know, we're not going to say, oh, you can only wear an HSJGA shirt to an HSJGA tournament, because we get that every kid might not have that. And, you know, some kids might just have to buy the bare minimum. But if a parent feels like they really want to get their kid into golf and they can't, you know, afford that, or feel like they can't provide that opportunity, then, I mean, I would like to say, like, we'd love to see how we could help and see how other organizations could help. And get these people into golf, because I think there's just so many organizations out there, including us and, you know, other things where it's like we want to make sure that these kids have the ability to play.
Yeah. Yeah, it's such a wonderful lifelong, you know, if people in their 80s are still playing and they started when they were kids. So, and it's a wonderful walk.
No, it certainly is. There's nothing better than when you can look at the sport and say, like, I've learned and I've grown so much from it. And then also look at it and say, like, this isn't something that you have to give up when you graduate college. Or when you graduate high school, it's not just a, oh, I'm done and I probably won't do it again.
Oh, no. You'll find that you make great friends in business. You know, you never want to be left out. Hey, we're going to go play. Do you want to come and play golf with us? And you have to say no because you don't know how to play golf. Or, you know, you're afraid that you're not good enough. Nobody cares about that, by the way.
No, honestly.
Yes.
It's more about the community and the relationships and the lessons you learn from it than, you know, how well you do it. And it's like, even coming from someone like some of the most experienced golfers or kids you see, it's like they still have bad shots. They still don't hit it great. You're still going to hit. Not every shot's going to be perfect, but it's really about how you put it all together rather than how do you put everything, make everything perfect.
Yes, exactly. And you know, they'll say what their answer is. Oh, don't worry. We're not that good either.
Yeah, really.
You know, and that's the honest answer. So this is what HSJGA offers: opportunities that teach responsibility and develop qualities of leadership and integrity while assisting juniors in becoming productive members of the adult community. Rules, etiquette, and instructional clinics on the game of golf, golf at a minimal cost to juniors, an environment to promote and encourage good sportsmanship and friendship among junior golfers, opportunities to travel and participate in state and national tournaments, and college workshops to assist all juniors with their preparation for higher education. And Allison, I bet you're the one who wrote that. Thank you so much for, for being inside the clubhouse with me this morning.
Thanks for having me, Danielle. It's always a pleasure to be able to talk about this great organization that I get to be a part of and just share it with so many other people in this amazing community we have here in Hawaii.
Yes, and thank you to, it's the Big Island Spring Classic. It's at Mauna Lani North Golf Course. And thank you, Mauna Lani North and Mauna Lani just in general for hosting this tournament. Thank you, Allison. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you, Danielle. Have a good one as well.
Thanks. Aloha. All right. It's time to thank the sponsors, the people who make this show possible. And of course, it's Aloha Power's Riding Mower Sale. We have specials in every size. You weed it, you whack it, you mow it, and you blow it. And you know what? It's an auto kind of putting it all together in the bag. It's wonderful. Riding mowers from landscaper to homeowner. You want them? We got them. Today. Get yours today. Aloha Power Equipment open Monday through Saturday. Iwile, that's next to the Costco gas station. Big sign that says Aloha Power Equipment. Just like the big sign that says Aloha Power Equipment in Waipahu on Farrington Highway. You're going to go EVA bound because, well, you know, you're going EVA bound. And just work with me. And then on the left side of the road, you'd say, oh, there's Aloha Power Equipment by Waipahu Depot Street. I see their sign. And then you'll make a U-turn and go back going eastbound or Cocoa Headbound. And then you're going to make a right into there. It's wonderful. And, you know, I talk about signs because the Honolulu Sign Company, branding banks and shopping centers and businesses and hotels, they've been putting signs up to let people know what's what and where is what. 1939, and you can't find a place if there's no signs. Like, I'm not good. And no, nobody puts an address. So you got the address, doesn't matter. The Aloha Section PGA, teach your children to play golf. It's the gift that lasts forever. For self, for health, and friendship, go golf. Have a wonderful time. And thank you for your mama. May you hit the sweet spot every time. Aloha. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week, and we'll tee it up together only on the Golf Club.
Copyright 2025.